Thank you to the individuals that have said, hey, nice Petey Pablo reference when I said North Carolina, come on, raise up. Appreciate you getting the reference. We'll see, in fact, if our meat dude Spence Ward has any idea who Petey Pablo is. Spence, welcome back to After News Live. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tyler?
Doing well. Remember Petey Pablo at all in your youth?
No.
Okay. I figured that'd be
the
case.
That's all I got.
Okay. A firm no. I'm not shocked. You didn't twist it, the shirt off, spin it around your head like a helicopter. You don't remember any of that?
I don't know.
Okay. Do me a favor. When this conversation is over, before you get back to the meat grinder or the slice or whatever you're doing today, go look up Petey Pablo and tell me what you think by a Snapchat, all right? 35270. Questions for you already over the last 45 minutes. Let's start off with their questions, then I'll get to mine. Tyler, question for the meat dude. What is capicola meat?
Capicola would fall under dry-cured processed meats, and capicola is essentially you take the Boston butt, which is the shoulder of the pig, pull out kind of like the middle meat of that Boston butt, and then you salt it, dry salt it, so literally just salt on the surface of it, put it in the cooler and let it age with salt on it for a very long time so that it dries out. And that's capicola. It's never cooked. All it is salted and dried. Kind of like prosciutto is essentially the same concept except out of the ham. And then you have your like dried salamis, and there's a whole bunch. Like it's its own category, dry cured meats. But capicola, prosciutto is some of my favorite meats to eat because it's just salty, rich flavored because it's dried out so much, you know, there's barely any moisture left. So it's just salted, delicious, rich meat. So, yeah.
You didn't want to try saying the capicola like they do out in like Staten Island. You just want to stick with the capicola.
How do they say it in Staten Island?
No, I was hoping that you were going to say it for me. I don't. Capicola. I think it's how that's how I would have assumed.
I think you're thinking like, yeah, I don't know. Okay. Never been out there. I don't know.
Nor have I, but I just let my imagination run wild, and that's why I assume that they say it like. Who was DeVito? What was the quarterback for the Giants? Not Danny DeVito. We're not talking about – what was the DeVito?
Tommy.
Tommy DeVito. Well, he's got the very good capicola is how I assume he said it. More questions coming in. I'm going to stop digging. Tyler, I asked the meat dude with the high cost of beef right now, what cut is the – best bang for the buck?
Oh, gosh. Best bang for your buck? We'll stick to the steak category. And flat iron still comes to mind. Now, granted, I do not see retail prices as much as probably an everyday shopper does. So flat irons might be really expensive right now. Not really sure. But normally how beef's priced out, flat iron is usually on the lower end compared to the middle meats. And it's still a super tender, super rich flavored steak. Past that, your best bet is just the sirloin on if cost is your determining factor. You can still make a really good steak with a sirloin. You just got to be a little more cautious of your temperatures and times while you're cooking it. But yeah.
Next one for you, Tyler. Question for the meat dude. How about ribeye steak burgers? Got a deal on some. I thought about making them burgers. So ribeye steak as a burger.
That's like slapping a beef in the face, I think. Okay. Grinding ribeyes?
How about ribeye? Let me just read it as it came in. And maybe it was tipped off because I was going to ask you what's the best ideal burger blend for a grinder. You're saying, okay, give me that cut, this cut, we're grinding this, and here's going to be the hamburger we're making. This person just texted in, how about ribeye steak burgers? Got a deal on some and thought about making them burgers.
Now, would ribeyes make good burger? Yeah, I mean, it would. But you're taking one of the most expensive cuts of meat out of a beef carcass and putting it into the least valuable part of a beef carcass in ground beef. So I wouldn't recommend, unless they're just really, really low quality ribeyes. You know, obviously like an older animal, cows, we grind the ribeyes, bulls, we grind the ribeyes, things like that. But if it's out of a young animal and you got a deal on a ribeye roll from a grocery store or wherever you got it from, I would definitely cook them as ribeyes personally before I would ever think about grinding them.
Okay, well, this person's thinking about making in two burgers something. What is the ideal? This is the way I pivot back into the question I had in my mind. What is the ideal combination? What are you saying, okay, I'm going to take this chunk, that chunk, and this is what I'm putting in for that perfect burger?
I don't think it necessarily comes down to a certain portion or a certain cut. It's really just fat content, right? I think an 80-20 is kind of perfect world for ground beef as a whole, whether you're making it into patties for burgers or you're using it in just everyday cooking. Now, normally you're going to get fattier meat from further up in the carcass, so shoulder, middle meats like a ribeye, for instance. But again, not saying to throw ribeyes into ground beef. And then the more you move back in the carcass, the leaner it gets. So sirloin, ground sirloin is usually relatively lean. Anything out of the round, relatively lean. I don't think it's necessarily where it's coming from. But if you're one of those people who goes to a store and buys a primal, like a chuck roll, and takes it home and you have a grinder in your kitchen, chuck roll would be what I would go with to grind. Chuck roll or a clod. Clod is the bottom half of the shoulder that comes off the beef, and that's actually what we use for our grind. For making wholesale sausage that we'll buy in off the truck is clods. It's a good 80-15 on average. There's usually a little bit of trimming involved to take a little bit of the fat off the outside. But chuck roll or clod is really good for fattier ground beef. But if you're looking for lean, go further back. So you're talking top round, bottom round, sirloin, things like that.
Okay. Questions for Spencer Ward, as you call him, the meat dude. This is brought to you by All Sucker Meats. Question, what is the thick fat in a chuck roast?
What is the thick fat?
What is that thick fat in a chuck roast is the how they questioned it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to spin this into a how fat gets deposited in the body way. Okay, so there's intermuscular fat and there's intramuscular fat. Intermuscular fat is deposited between muscles. So that's all the fat that you see in a chuck roast, for instance, is the fat that is in the seams between the muscle bundles. Intramuscular fat is marbling and it's deposited within the muscle fibers. So intramuscular fat is usually the fat that stays within the steak, for instance, while you're cooking it. Intermuscular fat usually renders out, if we're talking a chuck roast, and it's all the odd juice in the bottom of your crock pot at the end of cooking your chuck roast. That kind of goes into what I was saying about the further up in the carcass you are, the more fat deposited intermuscularly, like a chuck roast. And then if you move on your way back, intermuscularly, there's less fat deposited. There's kind of two different types of fat when we're talking steaks, roasts, intermuscular, intramuscular, and they both kind of react differently while being cooked.
Okay. Spence, I'm out of time this week. I have more questions for you, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll write them down, and next Thursday when we get back together, you and I'll chat about them then, all right?
Sounds great.
Until then, you take care, my friend. I was going to catch up.
Yeah, you too.
All thanks. Right. Spencer Wirt, he's the meat dude. Every week that conversation is brought to you by All Sucker Meats. You can find them in two locations. You're out in the Lakes area, Audubon, right on Main Drag. You will see that big, beautiful new expansion out there. And, oh, by the way, that new spot in South Fargo on South Veterans Boulevard, open, busy. Eric Johnson was there earlier today getting his steaks on, getting his summer sausage on. You can do the same. I've not had anything bad. If you have not tried go. Tell them Afternoons Live sent you. We're going to send you over to the KFGO News Center in just a moment when we come back. Okay, we told you about the meats. Let's talk about the booze. Proof Artisan Distillers, our friend Joel Kath, next year on KFGO.